debt. You got to go to bed thinking about it. You wake up thinking about it. Here's the truth. The system traps you in debt. High interest credit cards and loans make it nearly impossible to pay off your debt. And don't forget insane inflation. That keeps you stuck paycheck to paycheck. Done with debt is your lifeline. Done with debt has an ingenious new strategy to help you erase your debt faster and easier than you ever thought was possible. Done with debt analyzes all the debt options you qualify for. They know how to reduce your bills. They know how to get interest rates cut. Their skilled staff of negotiators know how to get the debt out of your life permanently, without bankruptcy and without a loan. Done with debt are the experts in brilliant strategies for eliminating debt. But you need to hurry because some debt solutions are time sensitive. So here's how easy they make it. Go to donewithdebt.com. That's donewithdebt.com. Again, donewithdebt.com.
Roses are red, violets are blue. Don't let a wild pube wreck you. Valentine's Day is just around the corner, and our sponsors at Manscaped are here for you for the best tools to get your balls ready for the special occasion. This V-Day, it's time to join the nearly 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming, with our exclusive offer. To get this, go to manscaped.com and use promo code Bubba, that's B-U-B-B-A, for 20% off and free shipping. Manscaped even threw in two free gifts. Their shed travel bag and the anti-chafing boxer briefs to keep your boys stored comfortably. And to complete the perfect package for your package, our liquid formulations like the Crop Preserver ball deodorant and the Crop Reviver ball toner. You gotta have both of those. Start your day off with a deodorant for your boys, then stay cool all day with toner to keep them feeling the best all day and night. These formulations will have your balls smelling like a king on your big day. Go to manscaped.com for our exclusive offer and 20% off free shipping with the Bubba code. Your balls and your lady will thank you. Join Cupid and shoot your arrow with Manscaped this Valentine's Day.
Hello. Welcome to Off the Rails. Getting all the levels adjusted. I think that's that might be a little too hot. I'm not even talking that loud. Blitz is here.
Hello.
Sorry, we're running a little late. Show ran a little late, and then it looked like Bubba and Brian were having a secret meeting, and we all know better than to interrupt Bubba when he is in a meeting or he's talking with someone.
Mm-hmm.
I was having this conversation with someone, I think maybe at BARP, and I know why. I think it was Big Country wanted to give him those big hoop earrings. And Bubba was talking to somebody else, and he almost
Big Buck.
Yeah, and he wanted to go up to Bubba while he was talking to somebody else. And I'm like, yeah, don't do that.
Yeah,
don't do that. And he's like, why? He's like, just wait till he's done. Wait till he's done. I said, I've only interrupted Bubba one time, and that was when someone showed up to kill him, Kenneth Kimberlin. other than that, and it was funny because he was talking to the Diaco kids, Nick and Bella, and that he was chatting with them, and I said, hey, Bubba. And he just goes, what, Casey? I didn't think of-. And I just said, hey, Bubba, can I talk to you? And he yelled. And then I said, hey, Bubba, can I talk to you? I just repeated myself.
Yeah.
And he knew someone was up. I'm like, hey, remember that guy that wants to kill you? Yeah, he's here. So he goes, oh, okay. Well, yeah, that's a good reason to interrupt a conversation.
Right.
So 813-90 Bubba, if you'd like to join the conversation, we may or may not take the call. We'll see how we go. We'll see how we feel. It is Gasparilla weekend this weekend.
I'm going.
Yeah, fuck that shit. Absolutely not. I mean, I barely like to go out and party anyways, especially when it's a hassle.
Right. Well, someone of your advanced age.
Yeah, dude, I'm fucking old and I don't care. And I think that's showing even more advanced age.
Yes.
Because like there's a period of like resistance where you're like, you're clinging on to your
youth. I'm not old.
I'm still young. I like doing young stuff. But now I'm like, you know what? I'm old and I don't give a fuck anymore. Which means
I like doing young stuff, and you need to get off my lawn.
Yeah, I am Joe Biden. I'm on a Biden right now. I don't care. I was thinking I'm gonna be fucking 35. What the fuck? Like, that's not even fair. I'm halfway to 40. I remember being 29
yesterday. Halfway to 40? Can you not do math?
I meant in your
30s.
I know. Yeah, that's what I meant. But yeah, that's fucking insane to me because in my mind, I'm still a 9-year-old boy. So how did this happen? I don't know. But I figure when I'm 45, I'll think I was young at 35. And when I'm 65, I'll think I'm young at 45. And so just try to live in the moment.
Yep.
Because it's going to be over soon. It's interesting talking to my parents now. They're both in their 60s. And the way it's interesting how your perception and perspective on life changes as you get older, because there's not much future left. I don't know how to phrase this nicely.
Okay.
But like when you only have like 15 summers left, you look at life a little bit differently. You know, you're not so because I still got like goals and shit.
Yeah.
You stop getting goals at like 55, 60, about 60, you stop getting goals. If you're in good health, obviously.
Greg and Amy on the road truck in 1999.
Thank you very, very much. That's big. That's big for us here off the rails. But because you don't really have future left when you're in your 60s, like not very much, it's just you start transitioning from like things you want to accomplish to how I want to just burn the clock out. You know, like they're like, you know, my parents talk about independently, not to each other, because please, but just how they want to kind of like have fun.
Sure.
Which seems pretty cool. I feel like you're, what do they call it? The twilight of your life. I think that's a nice way of saying it. You start looking at like, okay, well, what do I like doing? I'm going to just do more of that. Both my parents are on the edge of the precipice, if you will.
Okay.
Of retiring.
Okay.
So at that point, they're just like, all right, we'll see how we ride it out. And it shifts from all the things. Like, I remember when my mom was in her 40s, she was talking about like different business ventures. Mm-hmm. And she did, you know, she was a dancer, not a hoe, but not a stripper, but she did like studio dance, jazz, tabla.
So the pole she used went this way.
Correct. Exactly. That's a big. That's actually an important yeah. distinction.
I just thought about. I was like, wait a second. The pole she uses goes this way.
Well, they
not
call it a bar
way.
With well, two R's and an E. But yeah, they call it a you know a ballet bar. But it is essentially a pole that goes sideways.
It is
very much very true. Very fucking true. You do put your legs on it and shit. So you know.
I mean, yeah, you got to climb the pole.
Absolutely, one way or the other. But I remember my mom talking about like, oh, I'm going to go to this competition. I'm going to be a judge here, and I'm going to go. And they would ship her out to like. Guadalajara. I remember her going to Mexico a few times to judge dance competitions. Like it was really like cool stuff.
There.
No, I didn't go. And she'd go to like Boston or I don't know, Seattle, different cities all over the place. But now the talk is different. It's not about accomplishing goals anymore. It's about burning out the clock, which
kind of
scares you sometimes when you're listening. They're like, I'm just trying to live and have. I just want to have wine and eat food. Like that's what it's transitioned into. But I'm there now, so
yeah,
that scares
saying,
me.
Yeah,
I'm there now at 34 and a half. I'm like, fucking, I just want to have fun. Let's burn out the clock. Let's go. I'm not kidding, by the way. I have like big goals, and I want to do this, and I want to do that, and. I mean, that doesn't mean I don't want to do certain things, but I also just realize how unimportant my life is.
I just want to eat food and look at maps.
Dude, I look at so many. At any given time, if I look like this on Twitch, I'm looking at a map. That's what I'm doing. I'm not doing anything cool. I'm like, where's Estonia? What's the capital of Estonia? I'm just using that as an example. But I like to know where everything is.
Mm-hmm.
And it never ceases to amaze me how much time I spend looking at maps, yet how much I don't know.
It's crazy.
It is. It's fucking insane. I'm like, that's so crazy. Then I look at the size of like Antarctica, and I'm like, it's a continent, not a country.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it doesn't have a governing body or anything like that. So I don't know. It's just really interesting to me to see where everything is and in relation. And I'm like, you know, I'm looking at stuff. And then I start thinking... You know, as the guys are talking about Aaron Rodgers or something, you know, that I care deeply about. But, you know, I'm like, it was Armenia part of the USSR? Gotta look that shit up.
Right.
All right. Yeah, it was. Didn't know. Is Armenia in the Middle East? I have an interest in Armenia because every person that I went to college with is Armenian.
Okay.
All of their last names end in IAN. Kardashian, Bilzerian, what Askegian. They're all fucking Armenian. And I always thought Armenia was like in the Middle East. Like in my mind, I'd be like, "Oh, Middle Eastern." And when I was hanging out with my friend, my wife, briefly when she picked me up from my mom's and took me to the airport when I was in California. We were talking about Armenia, and I mentioned that they're Middle Eastern, and she didn't, like, correct me, but she, like, said, she's like, well, you know, Armenia, not, we're not Middle Eastern. I'm like, what the fuck, you're not? I'm like, yeah, you are, ho. What do you mean you're not? And she's like, well, you know, actually, Armenians look more like Russian.
Yeah, but and Pakistan.
And I'm like, what? I'm like, Russian? What are you talking? And I looked at a map very close to the fucking Kazakhstan and Russia, not far.
But if we were to put a poll here on
Georgia,
YouTube and ask about Pakistan...
Yeah, apparently Pakistan's not in the Middle East. It's not an Arabic country, though. But neither is Afghanistan.
Right.
So it's very confusing, folks, because you think Arabic country, you think they would speak, I don't know, Arabic, perhaps. Oh. But they don't in Pakistan. They speak the Pakistani.
Mm-hmm.
Or I mean, the Pakistani people and Indian people are, I feel like, essentially the same ethnicity, but divided mostly by religion. Pakistani people are mostly Muslim. Indian people are mostly Hindu. Is that how you say it? They're Hindu. They speak Hindi, and they subscribe to Hinduism, I think.
Okay, I'll go with that.
I think that's how that rolls. But anyways, I just like looking at maps of all the places I'll probably never go because I'm too scared. Not scared. I get scared because there's so much political unrest here, you know? And there's just things that I feel like I get caught up not in a good place. The people who try to fuck with me. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of places that are, they're like, oh, it's safe if you know somebody. It's like, okay, well, I don't really have a large pocket of friends in Brazil that can show me around, but right. I would love to go to Rio. That would be fun for me. I don't know. 813-90-BUBBA. But Gasparilla is this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Have you done Gasparilla?
How would you explain Gasparilla for people that are not, that don't live around here?
That's a good thing to discuss. So for people that are not from here, and I'm not from here, I didn't know what it was the first year. At first, I think I may have thought it was a cookout or something because mm-hmm. I remember Johnny B was really excited about it.
Wow.
He doesn't give a fuck. I always make fun of him for being fat.
Well, yeah.
But
you always say he's like the best cook you know.
Yeah, and he's always going to like pig jig and stuff, which is a bit, you know.
Right, pig jig.
Right, which is a bit more intuitive in terms of like what happens there.
Yeah, rib fest.
Rib fest, right, stuff, shit like that. So he'd be like, oh, Gasparilla is amazing. It's so much fun. And it's like, great. I'm like, oh, okay, so it's a barbecue. Like, mm-hmm. That's what I thought. I had never heard of Gasparilla. I know it's like a, I guess, known nationwide. Not to me. I didn't know shit.
I don't think
it's like a nationwide.
No.
People know because they know someone that lives here. They've been to Tampa. They get it.
Or they watch like football and they've talked about it because of the Bucks stuff. Or,
right.
But even then, like, it's not just like a known thing.
No, not. It's a very much a local thing, which I think is even cooler.
Mm-hmm.
But so my first year when I was here for it, I think I like did a they call it a live best of. So it was of the Johnny B show. Yeah, so we would like me and Ryan Adams.
Okay.
We co-hosted the show, and Johnny was down there, you know, eating. I thought,
right.
I didn't realize exactly what it was.
I'm sure he was.
He certainly was. But then the following year, I learned, oh, no, it's like this big parade, and there's floats, and the invasion, and who fucking cares? I looked up the.
A big boat.
Yeah, I looked up the history. I'm like, oh, that's why there's that big fucking pirate ship on Bayshore that mm-hmm. it no one even like stops to take pictures of.
No one cares.
Not even the Asian immigrants give a fuck. And you know that's bad because they'll take pictures of plants. They don't care.
Yeah.
They'll take pictures of everything.
Yeah,
they don't take pictures of that.
It's cool, but like no one cares.
And it's really dirty. I used to, and still do, run down Bayshore occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one time, I think I ran past it. I'm like, let me see what the fuck. And I look, it was disgusting.
Yeah.
I'm like, can someone wash this? You'd think with how much it rains around here.
Throw a tarp over this son of a bitch.
Yeah. So it's this big parade, local parade. Everyone dresses up like pirates. People get up very, very early in the morning. It's really shocking. They get up maybe 6, 7 in the morning. They are drinking no later than 8 a.m., and they plan on going the entire day, mm-hmm. which to me is a bit ambitious. But I remember my first true Gasparilla. We drove Friday night to stay with a friend, and I remember waking up probably about 9 to the sound of many, many voices in the living room.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, like, what the hell
like
is that?
Got a police here or something?
Yeah. And I go out, and there's probably about 8 or 9 people, girls, full face of makeup, totally dressed in pirate outfits, and they're taking shots. And I'm like, it's 9:06 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing? Like, aren't we supposed to try to go till like 8, 9 at night? What are you doing?
Right.
They're like, yeah, you just drink all day. I'm like, nah, me. And this was 4 years ago. Yeah, this was like, I was what, 30? I was fucking 30 back in those days. So I did two proper gas bills, but the first one is probably the most memorable, just because it was the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And I hung out with I feel like a porn star is a bit of a stretch to call this woman, but she was in the lifestyle and she liked to fuck a lot.
Okay.
And I've saw many videos of her, even on Twitter. I think this is before OnlyFans, or if maybe OnlyFans was largely unknown, but
back in the day, Twitter had like full-blown fucking true full sex like all over the place.
Yeah, so
I
was gonna say, I think it's still on there.
Yeah,
I don't really spend much time on Twitter. I don't hate Twitter.
Me too.
So she would do a lot of the porn stuff, and we ended up meeting up with her because she had a connection with drugs. Imagine that.
Okay.
So we go, we're hanging out. I'm getting kind of fucked up with alcohol and other stuff. She's trying to read my aura. Her top is now off. There's people. Gasparilla was also her anniversary. Her name, I don't even give a fuck. Her name was, maybe I shouldn't say it because she was doing drugs, but whatever. Her first name was Jaden. I'll just say that. And that's not even her real name. That was like her fucking porn fuck name. So her tits are out. I remember she was like, oh, check these out, blah, blah. And I remember leaving the party and I say to, you know, my boyfriend at the time, I could not even look at her tits because her stubble was just so apparent. And he just stops. I'm like, and I was like, did you notice her stubble? He stops. He goes, I couldn't focus on anything else.
Oh.
And he's like, I even took a picture of it. So nice. He like took a picture of her face and we like go in. And I'm like, that's a fucking 5 o'clock shadow.
Oh.
You know, and Babyface is making fun of me for taking steroids and me having a 5 o'clock shadow. But this bitch really had stubble. Like it was crazy. But I would say that was probably the most memorable Gasparilla. And then the following year I went as well. And do you ever just shock? I mean, not you because you don't really drink that much and neither do I anymore. But when you do normal things under the, like heavy influence of alcohol, you're very impressed with yourself. I navigated my way by myself from Bayshore to my friend's house, and you know how like South Tampa is close to Bayshore is. There's a lot of those streets look exactly the fucking same. Like, mm-hmm. exactly the same. It's just like a grid. You don't really know where you are. I didn't really know the area very well. And I don't know how the fuck I navigated from point A, which was who knows, to my friend's house to use the bathroom. It was very impressive. And that was pretty much the highlight of the second time around. But tomorrow is Gasparilla, and it's going to be cold as fucking shit.
Yes.
I've been invited out with friends, but it's one of those things where it's like, you got to come find us. And we're going to be deep in the mix. So I was like, I may go to another friend's house, like farther away from Bayshore. And it will be probably about 3 miles to, you know, the party.
Oh, geez.
3 miles isn't that much, obviously, if you drive. But I'm not driving down.
When it's in the snow.
Yeah, when it's in the fucking snow. There's black ice on the streets.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. And not only that, but you can't drive. You got to either scoot or you got to... I imagine that the scooters will all be used up because people will be drunk and trying to navigate around. And
so my plan, I was going to go down there. Mm. I live like somewhere close to there. I was actually going to go out Friday and steal a scooter and hide it at my house so that I had a good fully charged scooter that I could then rent the next day.
That's very smart.
Because you can still like manually push and ride the scooter and not pay for it.
I mean, it doesn't
do any good, but like... I would do that to my house because, like, around my house, there's a lot of them just in the neighborhood, but a lot of them are, well, a lot of them are lime.
What's wrong with lime?
They're what I'd like to say, complete garbage.
Are you saying they're ghetto as hell?
Yes.
Ghetto garbage.
But there's some other ones like Spin and stuff. You can find some good ones and find them that are, like, have a lot of charge in them and just take them home. And then the next day, use them.
Okay. How long before people start, you know, making phone calls?
Like, I mean, I wouldn't keep them for more than overnight.
Okay. Like, if you were to keep it in your backyard or something.
Like, forever?
No, like, for a day or two.
That's what I was going
to
do.
Okay. That's smart.
Just because, like, on Saturday, they're going to be hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
People from, like, my neighborhood driving them down there. Mm. Like, now, down there, there'll be a ton of them. But
yeah.
Where I'm at, there won't be.
No. And I imagine they're all going to be used up, and yes. I don't like amateur hour. I don't like New Year's Eve people going out. I don't like St. Patty's Day people going out, although I will be at Kevin Hazlett's party, but I feel like that will be a little less chaotic than like going to McDitton's or something
like
that.
Have we talked to Kevin? Like, is he still doing that? Do we know?
Last I heard, he was still doing the party because I asked him after.
He also says he's going to do a show.
He said next week twice in a row, so I guess it's TBD.
I mean, I get it.
But he's put a lot of planning into this party.
I know.
You know, so I imagine it's still going to happen, and I think it's probably a really good PR.
That's what
move.
I'm thinking. I think he's going to do. It's going to be like kind of a fundraiser PR.
Yeah, yeah.
So, it's right in the heart of the voting area.
Exactly. So, and it's a great. It's at the compound.
Mm-hmm.
So that will be fun, but usually I hate amateur hour type shit. Mm-hmm. Thanksgiving Eve is apparently a big one.
I have to really decide hard if I'm going to go to Kevin's thing or not.
Decide hard?
Yeah, it's a firework event weekend.
Oh, right.
So like I'm actually thinking about maybe, because we have that Friday off.
We do, yes. Jamie Cake's birthday.
Yes. So I'm thinking about like driving down to Okeechobee Thursday,
mm-hmm.
spending Thursday night and Friday night there,
mm-hmm.
and then like Saturday morning coming home to be part of Kevin's deal.
Gross. I mean, all that driving and partying and fireworks. I commit myself to one thing. I don't like bopping around and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you know this about me, but I'm a paper tiger.
Really?
Yeah.
More like tissue paper tiger.
Yeah, like I don't like stressing myself. Like I'll go to this party, that part. I'm like, no, I won't. I won't do that. I'll pick one thing, and I may not even go to that. Like tomorrow. Like tomorrow, my friend's like, oh, I got to come out. I'm like, fuck yeah, I will. I saw the weather report. It's like, and this was a week ago, so it was going to be like in the like mid-50s. No, at that point, it was like, oh, it's in the mid-50s. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Then I saw 39. I said, fuck that.
Yeah.
Hell no.
Yeah, well, now it's like 33, 32 in the morning.
How's that fun? Let me ask you, how is that fun, people out there? Granted, maybe when you're younger and you're drunker, you don't care. You're just so dedicated to the cause. But here's the thing. I kind of get it if you live in the Midwest or in the Northeast or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember you just get so sick of being home that even though it's 30, 25, 10 degrees out, you'll hoe it up, you'll wear a jacket, and you'll just go to the bar and be like, fuck it, I can't do this anymore. I got to get out and do something. But when you live in a place that's really nice most of the year, when it drops below fucking 60 degrees, absolutely not.
Yeah.
It is really interesting to see how well Floridians handle natural disasters versus cold weather.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, hurricane, whatever.
Party time.
Yeah, who cares? Yeah, hurricane party.
Yeah.
Drops below 60. Fuck this!
Hurricane come, I go to the beach.
Absolutely not. Yeah, exactly.
I do.
You go to the beach.
I do.
You see people on Bayshore, the water sucked out. You see, like, police, hey, get your ass back over here.
Yep.
It gets cold. You want people to stay in their house? Have it be 55.
Oh, well, yeah. There's no excuse for 55.
I wonder what the turnout's going to be, though.
That's what I'm wondering. So, like, they televise it.
Yeah.
And Country Girl, yes, it probably will be live on streaming somewhere. But, like, the local stations televise it. And so I'm going to turn it on my TV if I don't go down there, which I'm probably not going to go down there.
Yeah.
I will turn it on just because I want to see like what's going on, what the turnout's like. Now,
yeah.
Part of the invasion is there's a big flotilla where people bring their boats out there. Like, who's going to want to be in their boat when it's 30 degrees out?
Right. Right. And can I ask a question about parades?
Because why?
Why?
Because you're Jewish?
Why? No, just that was a question. Why?
Oh, yeah.
How are parades?
Oh, I know.
Like, even when I was a kid, I'm like, this is the fucking worst. It's just moving carts, and I was always just like, what's the appeal? Like, you go, wow, ooh.
Now, the last parade I was at was in Ybor, and it was a lot of fun.
Oh, the night parade?
No, the
guacamole?
Gay pride parade.
Oh, that parade.
That was a lot of fun, because Lummy was getting slapped.
Yeah, but that's really not the, like, if you would have taken out the floats, it would have been just as entertaining.
Of course.
You know, it's really because there's a lot of nudity, a lot of salaciousness.
Mm-hmm.
a lot of people scantily clad, guys, girls, and everything in between. That's really why you go. You don't go for the floats.
I do.
Okay. Well, maybe you should be going to the gay pride parade. Who cares about floats? So, yeah, I don't really get the appeal of parades, especially if there's, like, no music. I guess each float might be playing. Maybe if you're on the float, it's fun. I get that. I used to do parades. I used to do, like, a local Christmas parade.
And would you twirl baton?
No, I was, like, on the dance. You know, my mom owned a dance studio, so we'd have, like, pom-poms and do, like, a little fucking routine. And gotcha. To be honest with you, it was actually really fun.
Probably.
It was really, you know, as a kid and young adult, it was fun. I did the Disney parade a few years in a row, which was cool. Great way to burn a shit ton of calories, I'll tell you that much. But which was necessary when I was 16. If you were to know me, you'd understand why. But that was fun. But watching a parade is horribly boring. It was even boring to me as a kid.
No, but see, parades are for kids. Kids love parades. And a lot of times...
Kid. Go ahead.
Kids love parades.
Yeah.
Period.
Okay.
Because they get free worthless-ass trinkets.
Like beads?
Yes. But like even like other stuff, like little like pieces of candy and stupid little things that they just absolutely love because it's free.
Uh-huh. And they get to catch it, and I get it.
Yeah,
I get the appeal.
Actually, I take it back. I went to the Christmas parade that was in downtown Tampa.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't go to it. I was just walking around and happened to like walk into a parade.
Yeah.
And like the kids there were they were having fun. Like they love it.
Well, there was like cheerleaders and stuff, right? So there's like entertaining. The people getting flipped
in
the air. I thought I saw your Instagram. There was like a band.
Oh no, that was something different.
It's like that was a pep rally.
That was a pep rally for a football game.
Oh, okay.
But I went to like an actual Christmas parade too. I just happened to walk in part of. I guess I don't know.
And you were having it. Oh, that's right. Didn't you tell me that you grabbed beads?
I was catching a bunch of beads.
Gave it to a little black kid.
Yeah. Yeah. That was right in front of me.
Yeah. Yeah. I get it. So yeah, that's going on this weekend, so it should be interesting. On Monday, we'll go over how everyone either went to the parade or didn't go to the parade or slept
how everyone
through the parade.
Stayed at home and did nothing.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. 813-90 Bubba, Flap and Gaps will be coming out on Monday. I'm very excited. I love Tara so much.
Episode what?
10 or whatever.
13.
13, really?
Yes.
Awesome. Definitely want to be doing more with her. We have tentatively planned a girls' night.
A date.
A date, if you will. Very excited about that. I love Tara so much. She's just such
She's awesome.
She's just a ball of energy and positivity, and she gives fucking great advice. Great advice. Mm-hmm. And I just love her so much. You know, I was on my way home, and I'm just thinking about her. I'm like, hey, I just love you. Fucking love you. Thanks for being you, bitch.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah, she's fantastic. I did want to talk a little bit about this because I did watch part of this video yesterday, and it was and Bubba played some of it during the show, the Squirmy and Grubbs video.
Okay.
About them being intimate because they know what people want to know. Like they understand, and if you didn't listen to the big show today, Squirmy and Grubbs is like a channel of this married couple. I think they call themselves an inter-abled couple. Mm. So I'll pull up the just the still, and we need it on this computer, right?
Yes.
All right. So this is Squirmy and Grubbs right here. This girl is hot, as you can see. This is a hot woman, and then this is her husband. That's her husband, right there. Now, that's not to say that he shouldn't be able to live a happy, fulfilling life. But I think people are a little taken back, not that he's with not only an able-bodied person, but a hot, able-bodied person.
And not only hot, like, she seems cool.
She seems very down-to-earth,
right.
A nurturer. She's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that a lot of people, you and I were kind of discussing this a little bit yesterday, people are a little taken aback by this and maybe even upset by this because certainly intrigued by this because it kind of disrupts our paradigm for how things should be in life and on planet Earth. And when we see things that don't really correspond to our paradigm or the way that things should be run around here, it sometimes it can make you angry. It can make you very angry.
It doesn't make sense.
You go, hold on a second. Everything I've learned about everything in my 34 and a half years tells me that these two people should not be in a sexual relationship.
Right.
Because that girl's hot, and she can get a hot guy, mm-hmm. and that guy is not, he's different. And he should be with someone different as well.
Right.
Or maybe no one at all. And the fact that maybe I'm a guy, and I can't get a girl that's hot, but this guy, who's mm-hmm. got, like, you know, four half limbs, mm-hmm. he's pulling chicks that are hotter than me.
Right.
And how does he even go to the bathroom? How does he fuck? How does he do all these things?
Exactly.
Well, they knew that people would be intrigued by this, and they started a YouTube channel where they explain a lot of parts of their intimate relationship. And I remember they kind of showed how they fucked a little bit before, like the pigs in a blanket.
The baby cradle, whatever they
called
it.
Yeah, they had all these names for ways that they cuddle and obviously possibly have sex or something like that. All right.
Now, do you think...
That's strong. Man, that's fucking strong.
That really is.
I don't even... And it's funny because I didn't really watch all of the videos, so I don't know why she takes off her clothes. Not that I'm complaining. I'm just asking. Yeah, I guess I could put it on a little bit. Oh, just kidding. Can't do it.
Time for your news.
Time for my news. There we go. Come on. Oh, man. Did it freeze? Oh, I'm using the wrong mouse. There we go.
And I did not relate to my burden complex.
The things that people say.
Oh, yeah.
That, like, I couldn't possibly be satisfied. Like, we get that comment every day.
It doesn't look like what you see in the movies. Maybe.
I mean, there's definitely an element of, he has to be real fucking vocal about what he wants, because otherwise it's, like, rape, you know? Like, if he doesn't say, yeah, I'm into it, because he can't fucking move. She puts him down and she starts riding him.
But does she?
I don't know. I think this is a fucking scam.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
I haven't looked into it enough, but, like,
it's got to be a scam.
Now, do you think both of them are in on it, or she's just like, hey, look, I'm going to make some money?
They might both be in on it. And maybe it's just like a... I don't get it. She's cheating on... And she seems so nice and pure and innocent, and maybe she... And here's the thing. I get if this is your job, right? Like, she's like, hey, I love taking care of people that need my help. Great. But
then she goes home.
Right. But I think what people are confused about, myself and you included, is the fact that there's a sexual component because...
Well, they're married.
Right. They are married. And I think that, and I've said this before, and I feel like I've gotten heat for saying this before, but I think it's true. I don't think that you can be sexually attracted to someone that you truly feel pity for. I feel like those two things can't coexist.
Yeah.
And I don't mean feeling sorry for someone in a bad moment, like, oh, your mom died and I feel bad for you.
Right, that's different.
But someone who you truly, like,
he's not going to get better.
Right. Like, I don't want to say that I pity him and I, like, think about him all the time or anything like that, but I'm like, man, that sucks, and I feel really bad for him. Because I have those thoughts about him, it eliminates any sort of sexual attraction to him. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Now, would it make your decision, because it would mine, make your decision change or be easier if she was not good looking?
Yes, of course. It'd be completely different. Of course. If she was like a homely but able-bodied, you'd be like, yeah, of course. That
I want to like
aligns with what I think.
I would like to interview like a few of her other friends or like maybe an ex-boyfriend of hers or something. Just to kind of see what's going on.
Yeah, well, they're all dead from ALS, so it's just hard to tell. I'm just kidding. I don't know. But I think that's because then your only resolve when you're trying to make sense of something that doesn't make sense, you go, okay, well, the only answer now is that something is deeply wrong with her.
That's what most people would say.
You
yes.
go, oh, okay, okay. So she's hot and she's able-bodied. So she's insane. So she's crazy and she'll burn down your house.
Mm-hmm.
That's the resolve. But it could be the fact that there's just some people that are built different. And she fell in love with this man who wooed her with his words and his wheels. I don't know.
Now, she said that she originally emailed him. Like, that's how they first contacted.
What? Why did she email him?
I don't know. It says it in this video. Like, she says it in this video.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know, like, I didn't listen to all of it. So I don't know, like, what was said back and forth or what happened. But she reached out to him first. Mm-hmm.
Oh, so she made the moves on him.
She did.
I don't know if she's just a... I feel like there are people who need to be needed, and sometimes it gets to a point where it's clinical. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe she just needs to be. You know, I'm sure you've heard of these stories with like moms that purposely keep their kids sick.
Yeah.
So that the
Munchausen
kids will need
syndrome.
Them. Is that what it's called?
By proxy, but yes.
So maybe it's something like that, where she just feels like she needs to be needed at all times, and then that gives her some sort of self-worth, or...
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I know this is not good to say, but, like, she could still find somebody better that would need her.
Maybe not to her. It's hard because we're imposing the way that we think on somebody else.
I mean, look, you know...
Because it's the right way.
She could absolutely love him, like, no questions asked.
Yeah. But it's confusing because we don't understand it. 813-90-BUBBA, if anyone can break this down for us that might have some insight into whatever mental disorder this woman has and how lucky this guy must be, even if it's a scam, the fact that he just gets to hang out and get his dick touched by this woman is a goddamn blessing.
She's got, okay. She's got videos on her Instagram of her, like, I guess they got dogs, and she's, like, running along the beach with her dog.
Yeah, she does, like, bikini shows for him. I watch one of those.
No, I knew that. Well, I mean, they know that's going to sell.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Brandon.
Oh, perfect.
Yes,
what's up?
An expert witness.
Hey, I think it's all a gimmick.
You think it's all
a
scam?
You think it's a gimmick?
Yeah, because you guys know how hard it is from my mom take care of me, and she's not putting it on the video or nothing like that, and I can move more than that guy.
Yeah, 100%.
He also probably weighs less than you, though.
Yeah.
Like half your weight.
Yeah.
He's tiny.
Well, he's got two cobras. His whole arm is a cobra.
He's got two cobras.
Yeah.
And what you have is different from what this guy has, right?
He's got CP.
You have CP. This guy has a form of muscular dystrophy.
Yes, correct.
Atrophy, something like that.
Because he can't even open up his own ears or nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Now, does this give you maybe some, like, hope that there's people out there that are into, you know, disabled men?
And actually, there are dating sites, because I looked it up after I started watching them.
Yeah?
From the first time you were talking about it, there is dating sites that's just for this alone.
So did you go on? Did you register and get a profile?
$100 a month.
How much is it?
$100 a month.
Okay.
But if it was legit, it'd be worth it. The problem is it legit or not?
Yeah, I don't think it's very, very legit.
Right.
But she is hot, though.
She is hot.
She's very hot, and that's the big appeal of the whole shindig.
Of course.
Yeah. So, Brandon, thank you for calling in. No one better to call in and give their insight.
Yeah, and I just flipped my wrestling tickets for tonight for $200.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, shit, nice.
Yeah. So I'm going to
now you got some cash.
Beer.
Hey, that's 2 months worth of that website.
Well, I'd rather watch my show on OnlyFans.
Okay.
Awesome.
How many times have you watched your own video?
All the way through, like 3 times.
There you go. Okay. And does it take you back to that moment? Do you find yourself reliving it and maybe getting aroused and stuff?
Yep. Just a little bit.
Nice. Yeah, that's awesome.
Me too.
That is awesome. And how many people can say that their first time is on camera and they can treasure it forever and recall back to it? That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's why I'm showing all my friends, because they don't believe me. So I'm saying, just go to this website.
Yeah,
exactly.
Here's my dick. Check it out.
Yeah.
And you can drop drawers like Michael Jackson. Sorry.
Yeah. It looks like a mushroom, but it's there.
Yeah,
it's there, man. That's all that matters.
That's all that counts.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. All right, guys.
All right.
Thanks, Brandon.
All right, guys. Talk to you later. Bye.
All right.
Bye.
Have a good weekend. All right. We'll take a quick break now, and we will return in a few minutes.
Perfect.
wow, I think, how have I been living like this? Kind of like when you find out that you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan. You're thinking, wow, how have I been affording getting gouged so bad? It's time to make the switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. And I mean, Mint Mobile's quality of wireless service is unbelievable. Say bye-bye to the overpriced wireless plan, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. They slow you down and completely screw with you. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at just $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with your existing contacts. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited plan deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. Get this new customer offer and your new 3 month unlimited wireless plan for only $15 a month. Go to mintmobile.com/Bubba. That's mintmobile.com/BUBBA. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/Bubba. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Speed slower than 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fee, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula of winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything for you to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED lights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has it covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices that you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP it needs to be and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Again, ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello, welcome back. Sorry, we just like to take a little break. It's easier to edit.
Mm-hmm.
so we can put it on the podcast. 813-90-BUBBA. You're listening to Off the Rails with Anna and Blitz, taking into the weekend. Very excited. Just kidding. No, I'm not. Not for Gasparilla, at least. Very excited to sit and do nothing, because that's what I'm good at.
I'm going to have a fun weekend.
I like sitting. You are? I am, too. Sitting and doing nothing, and maybe
that's
watching
fine.
Some Ozark, and getting ready for the show Monday, Tuesday. A little stressed out about it. It'll be fine, though. Stressed out, not that I feel like I can't do it, but I just, you know, I don't like letting people down. That's the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I could definitely pull us through, but, you know, is it going to be a brilliant show? Maybe, hopefully, you know, you keep your goals high, but I just want to keep the ship afloat. And I like all the blame and all the glory. That's how I roll. Like,
are you going to plan a pizza cooking segment at either 2 days?
No, nothing like that. Yeah, I feel like that's already been done. Maybe, maybe not. But I'm just a little anxious about it. But the anxiety makes me feel alive, you know? What, do you want some bacon?
Yeah, they're sealed.
Oh, yeah. Can't grab a piece. But, yeah, I feel like, you know, I'm used to being uncomfortable. I'm comfortable being uncomfortable because that's how I live my life.
Yes.
Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu has really helped me with that.
Good.
Because every instinct for me during that class, and especially when we roll, is run.
Yeah.
I want to get the fuck out of here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm scared. I'm scared I'm going to embarrass myself. I'm more scared. The thing I'm most scared of is how much I beat myself up afterwards. Terrible. I treat myself like shit.
How are you feeling about your possibility of some upcoming classes, private lessons, should I say?
Like I'm not worthy. Rob Kahn is a legend. And like he's going to give me private lessons, little old me. Private lessons. It's, I feel like, shouldn't you spend your time, you know, training the next UFC fighter? I'm fucking 34 and I'm a white belt.
Well, I'm assuming he saw the video and he's happy to see that, like, you're actually taking it serious. Like,
yeah.
You didn't just show up and were like kind of what Bubba said he would do. Like, I'm not doing the shrimping and I'm not doing all that other crap.
No.
And all. Just teach me how to punch.
Right. Punch in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, because that's what you do. You strike when you take MMA,
right.
Jiu-Jitsu, Judo, Karate.
That's what he said.
No, I mean, it would be an honor, but it's almost like I don't feel worthy. And I'm such a beginner that it's not like I'm trying to impress him or anything.
No.
Like, that's not even on my mind.
But I'm willing to bet that there's videos he's looking to make or, you know, have made or whatever that are teaching a beginner stuff.
Right, sure.
And you're a beginner, but you're not like day one now. Like you get some, like you understand some stuff.
Yeah, but in the grand scheme, I'm very beginner. But yeah,
right.
It's not like I know how to break fall and I know how to shrimp, but
right.
That's it. That's pretty much it. But I surprised myself. I was very surprised that I submitted anyone, and I did twice, two different girls.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, they're not advanced, and I have
more
stripes than they have, huh?
I said, so what?
Yeah, I know. That's true. I should say, so what? But in less than 5 minutes, getting them both twice and both with the same move every time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an armbar chick. What can I say?
Right.
I like it. And they both have kind of like long, gangly limbs. So it's just like so easy for me to just snatch one of them. And,
right.
And they don't fight back either. Like with me, I really try until the end until I'm like my arm is... It's going to break, and I go, okay, well, I guess I'm done. But if there's any room for me to, because I've had people try to grab me in an armbar, you know, many times, and my instinct, nothing I was even taught, but just sheer, just, you know, defense instinct is you try to grab your other hand.
Okay.
Because then it's two hands against your one hand.
Yes.
You're going to lose every time.
Right. That or play dead.
Well, no.
Oh.
Because they're gonna keep going until you tap them.
Oh,
so you
gotta
be alive to live.
Gotcha.
Oddly enough. You gotta be alive to live.
Wow, that's
yeah, that's kinda how that goes. Yeah.
Great philosopher over there.
Yes, yes, yeah. So I mean, to take classes with Rob Kahn would be amazing. But honestly, the thing I'm afraid most of in jiu-jitsu is my ego after the class is over.
Really?
Because I'm so like I tear myself apart. And I'm like, is this even fucking normal to have these thoughts? I'm, you know, just that I'm like, how are you this bad? Like, I'll have thoughts like, how are you? You've been taking this for 4 or 5 months now, and you're still this bad?
No.
Wow.
Do you get on your little spreadsheet app and talk to your other girls about that?
Okay. He's mocking me, folks. I thought Discord was an Excel spreadsheet, okay? It is not. It's a chatting application, okay? That's what it is. I thought it was an Excel spreadsheet. My bad. I didn't know. And I was also talking to you about this yesterday. even if you feel like you're hip for your age, at some point you're out of the loop.
Yes.
Like you are out of, people are going to start saying things like fleek and you're going to just be like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Or they're going to start talking about Discord and you go, who? You just, for some reason, as much media as I consume, whether it be social or otherwise, at a certain age, you just get out of the loop and you start saying things like, oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no. And that's not how it goes! Bubba! It's, oh no, oh no, oh no, 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 no. But sometimes you have a boomer moment.
Right.
And I had a boomer moment where I thought Discord was an Excel spreadsheet. And she's like, I'll add you on Discord. I'm like, why do you just send me the link? Just send me the Google Drive. She goes, what? I go, it's an Excel spreadsheet, obviously. She's like, what are you talking about? Go, what are you talking about, 28-year-old bitch? Yeah, well, I thought this girl was trying to organize like open mat sessions, so I assumed it was like a scheduling app. I don't know.
Send me the link, and then when I have time, I'll put my name in the little spreadsheet there.
Yeah, I was wrong. I'm just like, why don't we use text? This has already been invented, guys. You realize like a group thread, a text? Why do we need to do a Discord thing? But I kind of get it. It's got like some other applications, and you can like comment. It's whatever. I kind of get it, but I also kind of don't get it because I'm fucking old. 813-90-BUBBA. I had to make a call yesterday to my mother.
Okay.
Officially taking myself out of a family reunion that is coming up.
Oh.
Taking myself out of it. Now, if it was local, would I want to go? Sure, of course. I don't think Bubba's going to appreciate it very much if I go to California 6 times in a month, which is basically what it feels like.
Yeah.
I went once for a wedding, which was not part of the usual holiday, you know, vacation.
Which was on the same weekend that the rest of the show, me, Bubba, and Dan, went up to Fort Walton Beach for a big event up there that you missed.
Yes. Hurricane Clem, which lasted 24 hours. And then you guys were straight out of there.
Yeah, I'm kind of upset. Next time I go up there, like, I might just dry myself because I want to spend like a day or two like seeing the sights.
Are there sights in Fort Walton Beach?
There's got to be something.
There's a beach.
I got to see the beach. That was literally it. And then I talked them into stopping by the Air Force Museum or the airplane museum for a few minutes.
Please don't ask me to do that.
I'm not even going to be going.
I know. But in case that we do this trip again, please no. So I went up. I went to California for that, for a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went back to California while you guys did a few shows here for my normal trip to see my parents.
Sure.
And then I'm like, April's not even like past June. You know, it's not even halfway through the year. It's like April 1st they want to do, or that the first weekend of April, they want to do a family reunion because it's Bubby's. Bubby's dead. That's my grandma. Mm-hmm. It would have been Bubby's 100th birthday.
Oh.
So my sister concocted a plan and then gave everyone else the responsibility of organizing it.
That's the best way to do it.
I was very proud of her.
That's the best way to do it.
She came up with this plan and then she goes, I don't want to coordinate this at all. And she just told my mom and my mom said, fuck you. So then my cousin Andrew is now organizing it. And so he's the one that's doing the email threads and responding. And the guy lives in fucking Oregon. So everybody's got to go back to San Diego. It's just, okay. So I see this and my cousin gives accolades to my sister for coming up with the idea. And I'm like, that fucking bitch.
Right.
Because now I got to be the asshole that's like, I'm not going, hoes. Mm-hmm. I can't go.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate blaming work because at some point you got to go, listen, your family should be priority over work, you know, at least at some point.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen some of these people 4 to 5 years, maybe. My cousin had a baby who I've yet to meet, and the baby's going to be like 2. So, you know, I feel like I haven't really been a part of my family. I've definitely taken a back seat in terms of like everybody's much closer. And then I'm like an outsider. And it's not their fault. It's my fault that happened. But, you know, when my parents got divorced, there was a lot of tension and I felt bad because my dad couldn't go to, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I just felt like I distanced myself on purpose. But 10 years down the road, it's like, come on, we need to, you know, make a little bit more of an effort. So it was kind of like this beautiful thing where I was like, I can't go. I'm going to fucking disappoint everyone. And then I went, oh, the vaccine. They probably want me to be vaccinated and I'm not, so I can't go. And then I look like the hero.
Yeah.
Because I'm just taking myself out of the equation.
For their health.
For their health. I was like, yes! God, thank you. Finally, this is coming in handy where it's like, I don't have to pay for a flight. I don't have to see people I don't want to see. I don't have to fucking ask Bubba. I don't have to organize. I'm free.
Mm-hmm.
I'm free. So I called my mom yesterday and I said, hey, I've been purposely staying out of that email thread. She goes, yeah, I know. I go, listen, mom, no offense, but the whole vaccine caper with you was fucking annoying. She goes, yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm.
I go, and you're just one person. Imagine 15 people
family.
Who are all liberal Jews. I'm like, that is just a nightmare.
Right.
Waiting to, did you PCR? But if you can't test for the Omicron.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I'm exhausted, and I'm sure you are too. So I think I'm just going to pull myself out of this. And apparently there had been a few people who had voiced concerns about my attendance.
Oh.
Even better, right?
I guess.
And I realized, you know, one of them is in his 90s. So I go.
The other one's your sister.
Yeah. No, I actually asked. It wasn't her. Yeah. But I think she just forgot. I think she would throw a fit. But just out of principle, not because she's actually scared.
Of course.
She just got to stick to her guns, which, yeah. You know what? I respect.
Sure.
You know, you just got to kind of just continue.
Yeah, double down.
Triple down.
Mm-hmm.
Quadruple down. That's what I taught her that move. So I'm proud.
I do that.
Right. So one of them's in his 90s. And I go, I guess I'll just never see Uncle Jerry again.
Oh,
like, that's
wow.
What you kind of have to come to the conclusion of.
Mm-hmm.
Uncle Jerry, unfortunately, you know, he was the one that lost his wife and had the Zoom memorial.
Oh, gotcha. The one where you were doing costume changes.
Yeah. Just be a black screen, and then I would show up in my pajamas, no makeup, then black screen. And then all of a sudden, 45 minutes later, full face of makeup. Black screen, then I'm suddenly driving in a car. My sister's like, what are you doing? This is, someone is dead. And I went, oh, right. Well, I got to get, I'm trying to go to Siesta Key right now. And I had forgotten about this memorial service. And I'm grieving on the go. I don't know about you.
I got to get drunk with Gigi.
Yeah, I do have to get drunk with Gigi. I did have a cooler and everything. Oh, man, it was so fucked up. Like, I'm dragging this cooler to my car and I, like, turn on the speaker for, like, a second. I'm like, that was a beautiful speech.
And you hear clink, 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 beer cans and stuff.
Right. And I'm like, Colleen, those were beautiful words. And then back on mute immediately, just so they know I'm there.
Right.
It was just for PR and I feel bad. But, you know, then you start finding out like I started finding out who had an issue with me being there. I'm like, who fucking was it, mom?
She tattled on him?
Good. Of course.
Good.
Well, actually, my cousin did first, and then my mom corroborated.
Doubled them. Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
She confirmed that, yes, it was these two people. One of them was the guy in his 90s. I was like, fair enough, whatever. Mm-hmm. You can't teach a really fucking old dog new tricks. It's fine. And then the other one I was a little bit surprised about because it was my uncle, who I'd spoken to maybe 3 weeks prior because it was his birthday. And the thing that I was confused about with my uncle is that he was telling me about his son, who is my first cousin. And his name's Ben, and Ben has a girlfriend named, I think, Myra or some shit.
Okay.
And Myra, like, wouldn't let Ben leave the house for, like, a year and a half, because they lived in Manhattan, and they did not leave the house for a year
like
and a
half.
Like,
very often, or?
Ever. Like, ever. I said, well, you went to the grocery store. He goes, no, I didn't. We got Instacart. I'm like, but you went for walks. He goes, in my backyard, that's 10 feet. I just did circles. I'm like, but you went. Mm. But you, he goes, no. I talked to Ben on his birthday, and he was telling me, he's like, yeah. So then Uncle Michael was telling me all this shit. He's like, yeah, Ben, the girlfriend's batshit crazy. Wouldn't let him leave the house. Da, 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 da. So I'm thinking Uncle Mike is cool. Like,
yeah.
And I asked him, like, how are you living your life? And I said it very, you know, non-judgmentally. I wasn't like, you should. I was just like, how do you feel about this? He goes, I wear masks where I'm supposed to, but, like, I'm living my life. I'm like, okay, that's fair.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, nothing. Apparently he's not cool with it, with me and my vaccination status.
That's ridiculous.
So that was a little bit interesting. But then I found out some stuff about Uncle Michael, about the mentals and the chickens. And I went, oh, interesting.
Oh.
Yeah. Apparently everyone in my family has OCD in both lineages, mom and dad.
Oh, God.
I was destined to be fucked up and wash my hands until they bleed. There was really no other way that my brain could have developed. but be a crazy fucking insane person.
You should probably start using some soap.
Yeah, and it's really funny because on both of my maybe it's a Jewish neurotic thing. It must be, you know, in the DNA, but my uncle is insane. My dad's family is insane. Has a lot of OCD. Mm-hmm. So it makes me feel a little bit better. Like I was predisposed. That's what.
Yeah.
I was predisposed to have this the craziness.
You were born with it. It's not something you caught.
No, I didn't catch it. It was something that I was born with and then was reinforced by my environment.
Of course.
Both my parents had like not OCD, but had OCD habits.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, mine became clinical to the point where my parents wanted to take me to a shrink when I was 8, which isn't a good sign. I didn't want to go to the crazy house.
Yeah.
Mostly because I thought they were getting me shots. I was deathly afraid of needles. Hence the reason why I don't have my ears pierced.
You were deathly afraid of needles?
I'm still deathly afraid of needles. I don't like them. I don't like them in any capacity. Yeah, I don't do heroin. I don't have my ears pierced.
Fun.
I don't have tattoos because people will be like, I hate shots. And then they have like 50 tattoos. Mm-hmm. And you're like, what? I'm like, no, I'm consistent with it. Like, I don't have any tattoos.
Giant gauged out ears.
I have giant lobes, but I try to keep them hidden under these headphones, which, you know, sometimes you see a little lobe. You get some lobe cleavage under boob.
No, you don't.
I'm kidding. But I was scared. Both my grandmothers, you know, had huge lobes, and then they wore, like, big, heavy earrings, like, you know,
that
from the 60s
sense.
And 70s. And they have Buddha ears. And I didn't want Buddha ears. I got enough issues. So no ear piercings for me. Anna, but you could just do a stud. Yeah, I heard you, too. But that looks like, you know, look at that tiny stud lost in that mass of a lobe.
Oh, my God.
You know? So you just keep them hidden. That's fine. Everyone has their insecurities, or most people do, maybe. You think there's people no insecurities that just think they're fucking great?
Ooh, yeah, Squirtle and Grubbs. That guy.
I think it's part of the human condition to feel inferior at times.
I would think so.
But I do wonder if there's people that are like, I have no clue what you're talking about. Maybe Dan.
No.
But Dan is driven to, you know, by, I don't want to say by insecurity, but like he said he went to law school when his brothers made him feel inferior.
Right.
So he's like, you're not going to make me feel insecure about this. And then he uses that as fuel to accomplish it.
Sure. But he still has it.
Yes. He's not immune to it.
To a point.
Yeah. Some people more than others. Do you think that you beat yourself up more than is average? And it's hard to compare because you only live your inner world.
Beat myself up?
Yeah, or like feel insecure and like get down on yourself or just treat yourself poorly mentally.
I not as much now as I used to.
When was I used to? When was that?
I don't know, like Christmas time? No,
yesterday.
Like, you know, 5-10 years ago.
Okay. And what do you think changed? Do you think it was just age? And
I think mainly age.
Okay. I think you definitely become, here's the thing. I don't want to say you become more confident with age because you accomplish more. It's just that you care less and you realize that
you
don't want to spend so many mental resources and time and energy focusing on hating yourself because it's exhausting.
Yeah. So like, I know this is dumb, but like 20 years ago, I wouldn't use a urinal next to somebody. And now
you didn't
like,
want to make them feel inferior for having such a small dick compared to yours?
Right.
Yeah.
And now it's like, I don't fucking care.
Mm.
Who cares?
Mm-hmm. Like, you were just scared they were going to catch a glimpse of you or something?
I don't even know. Like, I didn't care, but, like, I don't know. Like, I was like, I don't want to do that. You know, like, I get, mm-hmm. pee shy. Now it's like, I don't give a fuck.
I get pee shy, and I don't know why.
Right.
But
that's what I'm saying. I don't know why.
I need privacy. I just need privacy.
Yeah.
That is weird with men, how you just have to like take your dick out and pee next to another man.
It's so fucking weird. Especially at like old school sporting events where it's literally just a trough in the ground and everyone just standing there. Like, at least put a fucking divider where like, come on.
Have some respect. Women, we get our own stalls.
Mm-hmm.
And then oddly enough, you bring your friend into the stall sometimes and you'll pee in front of your friend. Not me. I don't play that game. I don't like that game. Unless I am so fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I have to be really fucked up, especially now, which I don't get that fucked up anymore.
Now, do you usually make her take the sink or do you jump on the sink?
Usually we take turns on the toilet, usually.
Oh, okay. You don't use the sink?
No, but I remember somewhat vividly, which is odd in college because I was so drunk all the time, but going to a club, I had just turned 21,
mm-hmm.
and And I remember a girl being in line behind me at the bathroom, and she, quote, cuts the line, and she just takes down her undies and takes the trash can and pulls it towards her ass because she's obviously going to pee in the trash can. And she immediately said, "Oh my God, I am so sorry. Would you like to go first?" And I said, "I thank you, but I am good."
And then she pooped.
And then she shat all of them. She just pissed in the trash can. It was a bold move by a girl who was blacked out. But that's not my poison of peeing in front of other people.
I'm not a fan.
I like background noise, you know, because you don't know what other noises you're gonna make.
Right.
You know, because if you're relaxing, other things could escape. And you just don't want to play with fire. Yeah. You don't want to play that
when
game.
When your stream turns into...
Right, exactly. You don't want an audience there. You want plausible deniability.
Yeah, whatever.
That's exactly what you want. 813-90-BUBBA. So I'm unfortunately not going to this reunion. And it was
What'd your mom say?
She was cool with it. Okay. She was, to be honest with you, that bitch was fucking relieved. I'm not going. She's like, I do not want to deal. She's like, yeah. If you think, and my mom's cool about it now, and she's getting cooler.
Okay.
She's just like, she's like, to be honest with you, I don't give a fuck anymore.
Yeah.
But
she said when you were there, she was real cool.
She
about
was really
things.
Cool about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
But she knows how my other family members are.
Of course.
And how difficult it was to coordinate it with just her. And then you multiply that by 15. It's just like, you mm-hmm. know what? I'm going to, because I don't want to force my presence on anybody except you guys listening and watching. Yeah. But you could always shut me off. You know, boop, that's it. But
that's something I do.
With my family, I don't want them to be fearful of my presence or have the awkward conversation of like, well, you guys do lunch and we'll do dinner.
Right.
And it's just like, you know what? They're afraid and I don't want to impose myself and I don't want to go to California. Like if people came to me, that'd be great, but it's just too much. So I'm just writing it off. And then the best part is that I look like the hero.
Now, did you tell your mom that like mainly it's because of work?
I told my mom the truth.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
I said, it's going to be real. I'm like, I was just there and da da da. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, like, even if you take the work aspect away from it, it still would have been a fucking, as we say in Hebrew, a balagan, which is just a mess. It would have been a fucking mess.
Right, right.
And I don't want to deal with that. And I'm exhausted. I'm tired. And so this is the first time and the only time that COVID-19 went in my pocket and really helped me out.
Oh, pockets.
Shout out to COVID. Thank you so much. Pockets, yes, pockets. Not to be confused with marbles.
No, pockets.
Who murdered himself in the next girl after Reagan. I had a like terrifying dream about Reagan.
About
and
pockets?
It was very, very vivid.
Oh.
Yeah. And it was weird. It was one of those things where I'm like, oh my God, that was so vivid. And then I forgot what it was. And then I remembered it during the show. But essentially, like Reagan was like sleeping with a married man.
Okay.
And she like left because he scurried her out. And like seconds later, the wife came in and was like, hey, like, who are you? Like to me. And I'm like, hi, I'm the plumber.
What?
That was fucking weird. But I was just like, I cannot believe Reagan would do that. And then I was like disappointed with her. And then I was covering her tracks and I thought I was going to get murdered by this crazy woman. And
yeah, because she was like, oh, good. I got it. Can you fix this pipe too?
I'm like,
and you're like,
yes.
You're like, oh.
And
fuck.
Then I think I went into the bathroom and then jumped out the window. So it was it was a drama filled dream for sure. And then I woke up and I had to make urine really, really bad. 813-90-BUBBA. So that's kind of the situation with the family. You don't really do family reunion. You don't care about your family.
I haven't been to a family reunion in a long time. But so my parents moved down to Florida before I was born.
From Idaho or Iowa.
From Iowa, yes.
Yes.
And I don't like, I talked to my family more in the past like 5 to 10 years than I ever did growing up. Like my immediate family, obviously all the time, but like aunts and uncles and all that, like when they finally got on Facebook, we mm-hmm. started talking, but like I've got cousins and stuff that like I've never met that I've talked to here. Like, and they've always been like, hey, come out to Iowa. And I'm like,
I mean, you guys don't live that far to have never seen each other. That's kind of insane.
Well, some of them live in like California or like across the like.
Right, a 5-hour plane ride.
Yeah,
once again,
that's way too much.
Not that long. Not that far.
That's way too much.
Interesting.
And my parents were never like, "Hey, you need to go hang out with your cousins," or "Hey, like."
You don't seem like a very, and I hope you don't take this the wrong way, and maybe it's because you're around your family, like, I don't want to say all the time, but, you know, obviously, like, with your parents and stuff, you see them pretty frequently. But you don't seem like a family guy. I'm not a family gal, except, like, with my mom and my dad, like, separately.
What do you mean by not family guy?
Like, I know people who, like, they want to do the family dinners, and they're really close to both their parents, and they are, like, constantly hanging out with them all the time, and...
No, I mean, like...
Maybe it'd be different if you had kids or something.
Yeah, and, like, I see my parents fairly often.
Okay.
And I talk to my mom every now and then. Her new thing now is text me, and the texts always say, call me.
Mm.
Like, what does that mean?
It means she wants you to call.
I know, but, like, is it like, hey, I need to talk to you right away? Like, something's going down?
It sounds like an emergency.
But it never is.
Right. You should tell her that she should stop doing that, because then when stuff... But then I imagine if something, there was an emergency, she would just call you outright.
Maybe.
She wouldn't text you to call her.
Maybe.
Maybe, but...
Maybe her internet at her house is out, and I have to go there and reset the modem again, because
she can't reset the modem. Well, that's an emergency, because she needs to get on Facebook immediately.
You're not wrong. You're not lying. I told her, I'm like, hey, she has a cell phone. I was like, why don't you get Facebook on your cell phone?
Yeah.
And that way, like, in times of these dear crises situations where you don't have internet for 6 hours,
yeah,
you could, like, get on Facebook on your phone.
Right. Yeah. But do you... I don't really see you as, like, the family... Like, the family guy. And I'm not trying to say this is an insult or anything
that.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, like, my parents were never like that. Like, my dad talks to his brothers, like, every now and then. But, like, they never... Like, my dad has not gone up north to see them in, like, 30 years.
Let me give you an example of family people. The Diacos. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
You know
no.
what I mean? Like, they're... I mean, not only are they in business together, but they see each other. They hang out. They do the holidays. They're, like... They go to the games together. But they live close and stuff. But nevertheless, they're very family-oriented unit.
I wish I was more like that.
You know?
I wish I was more like that, but I'm not.
And proximity has a lot to do with it, because they live close to each other, especially Dan and Steve. But because that would be really sad if they never saw each other and they lived across the street.
Steve does drive his car over to Dan's house.
Yeah, that's true. It's a bit of a track.
Yeah, it literally is 30 feet across the street of a 2-lane street.
Yeah, 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 yeah. It's very close. I've been to both their houses, and it's insane that one has to drive to the others. But also, I kind of get it. I also get it because I'm that level of lazy sometimes that I kind of get it. I was going to take that call. Sorry. 813-90-BUBBA. But I'm not, I've very much, I don't want to say distance myself, but I would be lying if I said otherwise, from my extended family, certainly. Mm-hmm. And up until pretty recently, even my own mom, you know, I don't see my sister often. I talk to my dad pretty frequently, but I'm not really like a family type person. My best friend back home is, and it's destroyed her life.
Right.
And I say that, and she has said that it has destroyed her life, and not in the sense that, like, you know, her parents didn't do anything egregious, but she's Persian, so let me mm-hmm. start there. I'm not talking shit, but in terms of, like, I feel like not necessarily the more ethnic you are, but, you know, if you're Middle Eastern or, you know, Italian, Greek, South American, I feel like family has a big influence. It's part of the culture where you're just like, you want to appease your parents. You want to appease your family members. It's a big faux pas if, like, you do something wrong, you know, culturally, you know, you say the wrong thing to mom, or you don't give the right respects to the right person. You could piss off the aunt. You get what I'm mm-hmm. saying? Whereas, like, I feel like I've completely... defected on any sort of, like, cultural tradition or anything. Like, it means nothing to me. I'm just like, whatever. But my friend is Persian, and her family has a big influence on her life. Huge influence. She still lives technically at home. She had a condo and then decided to rent it out as an Airbnb to make some money. I get it, whatever. But she sees her grandparents on a very regular basis. She sees her cousins on a very regular basis. So it's not just her immediate family. It's like the cousins, aunts, uncles, blah, blah, blah. And it's on both sides of the family. So mom, and they're divorced. So mom's side of the family and then dad's side of the family and whatever. And she gets so much feedback, unsolicited feedback from both sides of her family.
Oh, nice.
That she has been completely crippled in terms of making moves when it comes to career, mm-hmm. making moves when it comes to where she's going to live, because every time she decides to make a move, she's got 20 you know, voices in her head saying, why are you doing this? Why don't you just talk to this person? Why don't you stay here? Why don't you save money? Why don't you? So she's unable to take any sort of risk. And she's told me outright, and I've agreed with her, that her family has crippled her because they've made her scared of making the wrong move. So she makes no moves.
Well, what would happen if she would make a move, like on her own, just... Would they, like, be mad at her?
No.
Or?
And I think even her mom at this point has even encouraged it because she's my age. She's going to be 35 in June.
Right.
So her mom has even encouraged it. Like, if you want to do something, you know, we'll support you, because it's kind of got to the point where it's like, oh, you didn't make any moves.
Right.
So I think for her, she's been conditioned her whole life to be afraid of risk, that she now cannot even take it because she is afraid of the unknown.
Okay.
She's afraid of, like, what might happen.
Mm-hmm.
If you think I like playing worst case scenario, like, she plays it all the time. And with small shit. So she's like, well, I don't really want to do this. And I'm like, but why don't you try it?
Yeah.
Because you're not getting any information. If you don't try anything new because you're always afraid it's the wrong move, you'll never know if it was the right or wrong move. At least if you make the wrong move, you've gained information and knowledge. You go, okay, that's not what I want.
Mm-hmm.
But she can't even claim that because she's made zero moves.
And you've got time to make it right if it's a wrong move.
Yes. Yeah, she's got plenty of time. And I'm like, what is the worst that could happen? And when she actually says it out loud, it's like, oh, that's not bad at all.
Right.
But she's like told herself, it's like she's afraid to fail at it. So she doesn't even try. And it's like, well, I can't fail if I don't try. It's like, yeah, but you can't succeed either. So whereas with me, I've conditioned myself to be the exact opposite, where when I feel uncomfortable, I go, oh, I actually have to do more of that now. Mm-hmm. That's an indication that I need to do it more. Whereas, like, at the end of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, I do not want to roll with people. I'm afraid I'm going to look dumb. I'm afraid I'm going to get hurt.
Sure.
I'm afraid I'm going to just beat myself up because how the fuck did I lose to this person that started a week ago? Whatever the case may be. You know, I get so in my head, but I go, I'm so freaked out, and my heart always races before I roll every time. And it's like, how is this still happening 5 months later? But
good. It
does. And I go, listen, one day you're not going to get the butterflies anymore, and it's just going to be what you fucking do.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened with radio. That's what happened with hosting. That's what happened with everything. So I just say, yeah, you're afraid, but you know what? It actually builds confidence when you are afraid to do something, and then you just fucking do it. You
sure.
go, I'm afraid right now, but I'm not going to let that deter me from doing what I need to do, because I need to get to the other side where this is just something that's like fun and I enjoyed it and I'm good at it and I get confidence from it. But there's going to be a point, but there's going to be, you know, weeks, months, years, maybe, where you're uncomfortable doing it, but you know, in your logical brain that it's something that you should be doing. Same with radio. When I started hosting, Stay Woke, 6 weeks of it was horrendous. I felt like I was going to throw up every day. You know, I started the show at midnight. No one was fucking listening anyways. And at 11:30 every weeknight for 6 consecutive weeks, I felt like shit. I thought I was going to throw up. I would get so nervous.
Yep.
But I was like, you have to do it. You have to. I was like, you can't be nervous forever.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, not to be like, wow, look at me now. But the fact that I can handle a 4-hour show, like for Bubba the Love Spot, like what the fuck?
Syndicated.
I would have never thought that I would be able to even like emotionally handle it. I still get kind of nervous and
you
anxious.
Should.
But that makes, you know, but I'm not, it's not crippling me.
No.
But, you know, had I not forced myself to get through that 6-week period of just like utter hell, I would have never made it to the other side and shown myself that, oh, I actually can do it.
Yeah, I remember, I think I was telling you recently that even just going into the studio back in the old studio, like a long, years and years ago, like I would get super nervous and he would like come to me and say something and I'd be like, I wasn't that bad, but I felt like it was like that.
Yeah.
And eventually just I did it so much and like I was around it so much, I'm like, let's just talking to people, you know, whatever, no big deal, like I don't get nervous at all.
Yeah.
Like it's nothing.
Yeah,
but it was nerve-wracking though back in the day, like just walking into the studio, I'd be like,
absolutely. If you're not used to it, and yeah, it's super scary. I never really remember being super afraid to talk on the air. Maybe when I would be doing someone else's show, like I got called in to do, you know, like a segment on Drew's show or Mike's show, and that was always like nerve-wracking. But, you know, doing my own shows, not so much, but then hosting was like a whole different, you know, it takes it from like, oh, this is fun and like kind of cool and you can chime in whenever, to like, oh shit, fuck, like the stakes are so much higher. But then when you pull it off, the rewards are so much greater.
Yep.
So I'm excited to host. It was one of my, it's funny because I was like, not dreading it, but I love hosting, but it's, I don't, not that I don't like hosting for Bubba, but I don't want to fuck up his show. I'll fuck up my own show.
Yeah. The difference is, this is your show. And so like you can take it in whatever direction you want. You can say basically whatever you want.
Right.
His show, it's structured. It's very structured.
Yes.
And it's his show.
And he wants it done a certain way. And I don't want to disappoint him and, you know, all that sort of stuff. But. Mm-hmm. You know, I know I can do it. I've done it before. Yeah. I'll do it again. And that breeds confidence. And one of my goals for on my wall that I wrote for 2022 was like getting more hosting experience.
Yep.
And I'm like, Otto, why are you, you know, not looking forward to something that is one of your goals for the year? That's silly. And then it changes the narrative in my little peanut head. And I go, I'm really excited about this.
And it's
kind
of feel good, too, to know he trusts you to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Watch me shit the bed on Monday.
No, you'd be fine.
Just kidding. Hello, who's this?
Oh, it's Track Meet. Just calling to give you some credit because I always get nervous when I call y'all's show.
Like, oh, you do?
I don't get nervous about nothing.
Even though you're super high every time?
Yeah, pretty much. And that's the thing is, like, I don't get nervous around people like when I'm in person. But, like, if I go to call a girl back in the day for the first time on the phone or something when I was younger, I would get real nervous.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when I call y'all, I say dumb shit. And I say that, and I'm not supposed to say that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I would feel probably more comfortable behind the mic than calling in.
Yeah.
Don't you call in radio shows?
4 hours.
Even when I'm home.
4 hours, but there's no way.
Yeah. Like, even when I was home with, like, COVID or I called in maybe last time when I was in California, like, it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because there might be a delay or you might not hear someone say a quip that you need to respond to or they can just hang up on you if you're bad and then talk shit about you.
When I was younger, I would call into a few shows, but, like, it's weird, too. Like, if I was affiliated with the shows at all, I wouldn't want to call in.
Yeah. 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 Same here. Yeah. I remember one time I had to address some drama I had with Monica from Roger and JP.
Okay.
I was super confused and I called in from the gym and the fans were really loud and it was just not a good situation.
Well, and one more thing, I'll let you guys go. I have myself been to Gasparilla because I am a Florida person. I was born here and stuff, born in Hollywood, Florida. Anyway, it was fun. I think it was more fun years back than it is now.
I agree.
I think now it's kind of gotten more into like a festival for a different type of person.
Yeah, it was way more rowdy and ruckus back in the day. It's not
really?
Anymore. Yeah.
Everything seems to be snowflaking out.
Thanks,
Track Meet. Have a good one.
The old school night parade was crazy.
Isn't that how it always is? Everything just kind of gets watered down.
Yes.
And so, like, whether it's football or...
They start getting sponsors, and they don't want, you know, to hear all the crap going on.
It's just not as fun. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again, and I'm all about legalizing marijuana. Like, I don't give a fuck. But it is way less fun now that it's more acceptable.
I agree.
You know,
and you smell it everywhere.
You smell it everywhere.
Oh, my God.
It went from being an illicit drug to it's people's medication, like legitimate medication, as it should be. Don't get me wrong. But the trade-off there
is... No, it shouldn't be.
Yeah, of course it should be.
People should be able just to smoke it for whatever reason they want, medication or not.
Well, I know, but I'm saying that it's gone. I'm just talking about the extremes going from like being an illicit drug to being some people's legitimate medication.
Yeah.
And yes, you should smoke it for whatever, but I think all drugs should be legal. But I'm just saying the trade-off there is that it's less fun.
Correct.
Because you feel less of a badass because then you're just doing normal shit.
No, you're just a druggie.
No, not even. You're just doing whatever. You're just breathing and walking. And that's no fun. No one's giving you credit for that. You don't have to hide away anymore.
Yeah, then you just got to eat.
Yeah. I used to have to hide in a bush and smoke after my finals class, and I just felt like such a badass on campus. Now you just do it during the final. No one cares. It's my medicine, professor. Anywho, time for us to go. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back on Monday. I'll be hosting.
Have a great Gatsby weekend.
Yes, I'll be hosting Monday and Tuesday for Clemless, the two Clemless shows. But Bubba will be back on Wednesday, I believe, the 2nd. Have a great weekend. Have a great Gasparilla. Be safe, and we'll see you on the other side. Bye.